Today on Real Radio.
A little guy in a boat can kill a 1,000-pound shark. How do you do it? You got your line, you got your pole and all that stuff, but church, follow along with me. Satan thinks the same way. How am I going to get that Christian to get spiritually wiped out and mess him up for the rest of his life? Number one, you need what? What do you need? You got to have lure bait, something that's attractive to the shark. What are you going to do? You're going to put the bait on the hook, and you're going to put the hook in the water, and you are going to catch a 1,000-pound shark. How does that happen?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. We're taking a look at the first part of chapter 4, where Messiah was tempted directly by Satan himself. In fact, this is a mini-series taken from this passage called Temptation, What Are We to Do? Here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Now, Jesus is hanging true and firm, but the moment you and I are brought to a vulnerable situation, you and I will either yield to trust in God or we'll yield to our feelings. Jesus is going to show us what's the better way to take. We'll either trust God in that moment of crisis or we're going to look to ourselves. And when we look to ourselves, we're going to complain. We're going to gripe about the situation we're in. We're going to say things like this. How come? Why God? I don't know. If I were God, you know those words that we would never confess, we think, or say? We are failing the temptation when we begin to think about it. If I were God, I would have done this. You have failed the temptation. And Satan's winning that particular battle. Temptation's effective. Jesus is starving. And Satan's got a plan. He knows he's starving. He knows that he's been hammering Christ for 40 days. And by the way, the last time Satan hammered 40 days of temptation, he pretty much often succeeds. Or maybe 40 years in the wilderness with the children of Israel. He pretty much succeeds. For they all failed to believe. So Satan is at work. But look at verse 1. Here is the great attack of temptation against us. Here's how you fight it. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Church, Christian, listen up. Are you a lover of God? Yes, I know we don't love Him as we ought to, but we love Him. Do you want to be used by God? Yes. Then know this. Satan hates you. What? Me? You. He can't stand you. You pray, oh God, use me. God, use me to win souls to Christ. Oh God, use me to serve the body of Christ. Oh God, use me to reach out for Christ. You think Satan's going to sit back and say, okay, oh, isn't that nice? He wants to serve Jesus. Are you kidding? He's going to pull out one of his fiery darts and shoot them right at you. The Christians who are being used the most get shot at the most. But you know what? Once you're in the battle and you get a few shots that go by you, the advancement is sweeter than the attack. It's very cool. John, 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. A reference to the Holy Spirit in us against Satan in the world who comes attacking us. So, Christian, this is not a lose-lose situation for us. It's a win-win if we choose to fight like Jesus is teaching us. And so, temptation is Satan's weapon of choice. It's a very effective battle plan that he has. In Genesis 3:16, you know that story with Adam and Eve. It says there in the Bible, so when the woman saw, that is Eve saw that the tree was good for food, because she had never tasted it before, she saw that it was. How'd she think that? She saw that it was good, that it was pleasant to the eyes. Okay. And the tree was desirable to make one wise. She took of the fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband. How did Adam and Eve sin in the garden of perfection? Adam and Eve were perfect themselves, created by God. How did they fall? You might want to jot this down next time somebody says, well, how can I believe in a God who set up Adam and Eve in the garden? He didn't set them up. You can't have an Adam and Eve worship and love on God, and you can't be a real human with the same sovereign act, and that is the ability to choose. God put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the garden and said, of all the trees you can eat except this one, don't eat it. Why? In the divine plan of God, there's a future plan for that tree. Read the book of Revelation. But what do they do? They're just like you and I. They're our mom and dad. You can have anything you want. Imagine going to Toys R Us and taking Junior. Say, hey, you know what? You have any toy you want except this one. That little kid goes, cool, all right. Now, which one is it I can't have? That one. Which one did you say? It's this one right here. You can't have that one. Why can't I have it? You can have everything else. I appreciate that, but why not this one? You can't have that one, and not now. It's not for you now. Yeah, but you know what? Okay. No, I don't know. I think I really want this one. That's human nature. I want that thing. Satan knows that of us. Yeah, look, you know what? I'm doing pretty good at my Christmas shopping. I mean, I haven't left the house yet. I've been doing it all online. Kind of cool. Then I look at the commercial. I sit down, you know, and turn on the TV, and there's that lady. She's thinking about buying her husband something. She's going through the list, and then the next thing you know, there's an Infiniti parked in the driveway with a big bow on it. Okay, Lisa, look at that commercial when you go home. No, I'm kidding. So all of a sudden, my gifts kind of look like nothing compared to that Infiniti with the big red bow on it. And then there's a commercial about you can get a Hummer for Christmas. Happy Hummer Days. And now they got some Hummers on sale. Okay, who could pay to fill one up? But you know what? You're tempted. I don't know, ladies, you're probably not tempted by that, but every guy kind of drools. Hummer. The temptation's out there, whatever it might be. Sale, Christmas sale. Don't tell me you weren't tempted. Because the Friday morning when the group came to pray here on Friday morning, 5 a.m., we came to pray. Who beat us at that hour? Oh, not to pray. There was a line at Kohl's, huge, of worshipers who'd been tempted. You know? Satan knows what we like. He knows what we profess to feel good and what we have to have. So temptation is very effective. It's what you and I as Christians are fighting. This is hallmark to our learning. Jot it down. Everybody, even if you're not a Christian, I'm going to ask you to jot it down just because you should. 1 John 2:15 and 16. 1 John 2:15 and 16. Do not love the world. The word in Greek is stop it. Stop loving the world. And the things that are in the world. For if anyone loves the world, the love of God is not in him. For all that is in the world, listen, number one, the lust of the flesh, that's what Satan springs on Jesus right here, right now. The lust of the flesh is satisfy your hunger. The lust of the flesh. Number two, the lust of the eyes. This is what Eve was going through. Number three, the pride of life. Ooh, it can make me wise, she says. Is not of the Father, but is of the world. 1 John 2:15 and 16 is a perfect pattern to the temptation we see here in Luke chapter 4. That's not all. Temptation is multifaceted, multifaced. Temptation is multifaceted. That's the second thing I want you to write down concerning temptation. It's multifaceted, meaning that it takes on various appearances. Satan knows that you and I categorically fall for three of the same types of temptations, but he'll flavor them a certain way. For example, what I fall for in a certain area of my weakness may be different than what Dave is going to fall for or what Mike's going to fall for. It's different. You may be very prone to the financial temptation, or you may be very prone to the sexual temptation, or you might be very prone to the power temptation. We're all different. Yet under that category, Satan knows that his repertoire of armament doesn't have to be very diverse, just a few things that he changes up. For example, have you ever taken a flashlight and shined that flashlight? Of course you have. But look, when you do, the light's pretty boring until you hit, for example, a prism or a crystal. Have you ever shot just an old flat flashlight into a prism? What happens to the prism when you shoot it with light? It shoots off the spectrum of the rainbow on the wall or on, you know, the room. Very common, very nothing-like light hits this prism, and then wham, all these various rainbow colors. What's going on? Think of temptation like that. Satan comes along as an angel of light, says the book of Corinthians. He makes this subtle approach to you, and he makes this temptation before you. And if you're not ready, you can be swallowed up by it. Because on the other end, if you don't catch it, on the other end, oh, it looks nice. You know, the Bible says that sin is pleasurable for a season. Did you know that? Well, Pastor, that's just for the carnal people. No, for you. For all of us, the Bible says sin is pleasurable for a season. How does that happen? We're Christians. Don't you think we'd catch it? Not when our guard is down and Satan comes along and shoots that little light of his into this prism of salesmanship, so to speak. And he catches us. Oh, you might say, I like the purple. And the purple might be temper. So I like the green. And the green might be money. Or I like the blue, and the blue might be power, or the yellow might be sexual temptation, whatever it is. Satan will come ever so gently, not so easily detected, and then wham, it's upon you. And so it's multifaceted. Satan's smart. He knows what to do. You know, when I thought about this, how Satan will manifest to get a temptation before us, I thought about fishing. Now, I am not a fisherman. I'm the worst. I look good, though. My dad taught my brother and I how to use a fly rod. You know, I can put a fly down across the yard in a tire. Looks pretty impressive, man. Looks awesome.
Man, that Jack, he's quite a fisherman.
Man, I tell you what, I stink at fishing. I don't even want to fish. I got news for you. If we were to go fishing today, and how in the world would we ever go out and catch a 1,000-pound shark off the coast? First of all, it's 1,000 pounds. Second of all, it's a shark. Third of all, you got to go out there where he lives. What are we doing? How do you do that? Okay, you go out there. A little guy in a boat can kill a 1,000-pound shark. How do you do it? You got your line, you got your pole and all that stuff. But church, follow along with me. Satan thinks the same way. How am I going to get that Christian to get spiritually wiped out and mess him up for the rest of his life? Number one, you need what? What do you need? Oh, good. I heard both answers. You kind of answered it all in one shot there. You got to have a lure or bait. You got to have lure or bait, something that's attractive to the shark. Okay, you got your bait. Let's just call it bait. Lure, bait, whatever. You got it. What are you going to do with it? Once you got it, look, you're in the boat. You got a hook. You got a pole. You got a boat. You even got a line. You got bait, and you got this hook in your hand. What are you going to do? You're going to put the bait on the hook, and you're going to put the hook in the water, and you are going to catch a 1,000-pound shark. How does that happen? Because you are using something that is attractive to that shark. If you threw the hook in the water, the shark would say, "What do you think I am, stupid? You got to do better than that." So you put bait on the hook, you throw it out on the water, and he sees something and he says, "I got to have that. Nobody else in the whole school's got that. I got to have it." And he'll hit that thing. He'll take it. A big shark captured by a little hook, but that hook was baited. That hook was disguised. And that's an amazing thing. If you think about it, Satan comes along and says, "How can I capture that believer's life? He's protected by God. He's loved by God. He knows the word of God. He's being used by God. How do I get him?" And you know what Satan does? He just traffics around your life and mine, and he just trolls. And he waits for a moment to have your guard down, and he drops it just right there. He just drops it there. And if your guard's down, you're going to think, "Hey, you know what? Who's going to know?" It's multifaceted, temptation is. It's a very, very dangerous and terrible thing. I have found in my life, I'm sure you've found it's true in your life, that Satan customizes temptations. He'll supersize temptation. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 says, "Do you not know that those who run the race run to win, but one who receives the prize? Run in such a way that you obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they who do it obtain a perishable crown, For we run to receive an imperishable, or one that's going to last forever. Therefore, I run, Paul says, thus with certainty, not with uncertainty, that I might win. And he says, I want to make sure that I bring my body under control or discipline. He says, I don't beat the air, because why? As Paul is running the spiritual race, he says, I don't want to have preached the gospel and in the end wind up being disqualified. We have to stay on guard against temptation. The third thing under this temptation is Satan's weapon of choice is that temptation is contagious. It spreads among the camp, so to speak. And we know that's true because, listen, Eve said after sinning, Eve sins, she bites the fruit, sins, and then hands it to Adam. What's that all about? Adam should have said, hey, girl, you're in a whole heap of trouble. Whew, just wait till Dad sees you. He sins with her. Listen, isn't it funny when someone is sinning? They've yielded to temptation. They're in the mode of sin now. They're living in this aberrant life. They're wayward from God. They're living in sin. Every one of us sins, but you don't live to sin. Before I was a Christian, I lived to sin. And I was very good at it, I might add. But now Christ saved me. You want to live for Him. When someone's living and they're fighting this guilty conscience, they're not a Christian. They're fighting guilty conscience. What do? Temptation's contagious. They'll say things like this. Hey, come on, drink this beer. Oh, no, that's okay. No, come on, drink it. And they're holding one, right? Or they got drugs, or you name it. Hey, come on. No, that's okay. Come on. What, are you scared? Peer pressure. Come on, I've got one. Look, they all got one. Come on. Come on, take some of this uppers or downers, these drugs. Come on. No, really, take it. The world has got to do that to you and I. Why? Because they're not happy where they're at. They're saying, get down in the gutter. I've yielded to temptation. I don't even know what it is. I don't even believe in God. But I feel really guilty right now, and I'm not happy about where I'm at, so get down in the hole with me, will you? That's where that comes from. Boy, we need to pray for our kids, huh? That are under this exact temptation constantly. Come on, what are you, afraid? Oh, you afraid your mom's going to find out? Oh, all right. Pressure. Satan does that. It's contagious. It's a very powerful thing. And so the Bible says in Genesis 3:6 that Eve handed it to Adam, and Adam partook of it as well. The Bible tells us in James 1:13-15, let no one say that when he's tempted by God, for God does not tempt anybody with evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone, but each one of us, listen, is tempted, here's the pathology, when he is drawn away by his own desires. Oh, man, then we are enticed, and when our desires are conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Did you hear that? It happens like this. We're tooling along, doing fine, and then, whoa, she's cute. Instead of stopping, Lord, in Jesus' name, I bring this thought under the captivity of Christ, and you keep on going. You go like this. Oh, she's really cute. Hey, where are you going over there? Need any help with your pencil? Or whatever it is? Stupid stuff. What are you doing? Oh, that's okay. I'm going to share Christ with her. Get out of there. Let some sister share Christ with her. Run. Get out of there. Well, who's going to save her? You're not. That's for sure. Don't go that way. Do the Joseph thing. Run. The Bible says, flee your youthful lust. Flee. Run. It's contagious. You might catch it. Can you imagine? Hey, Satan spread it to Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve coughed on Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel barfed on the rest of humanity. And here we are, sicker than dogs. It's in our blood. And every time I say that, somebody writes me, Pastor, I'm highly offended that you implied that I was a sinner in your congregation. We are all sinners. We're all sinners. But listen, here's the good news. You can't get saved and go to heaven without first being a sinner. So sign me up. You know? I mean, come on. Anyway, save your email. By the way, keep this in mind before we press on. This is the cool thing about this. Is the truth of the matter is theologically, Satan can only tempt you. Did you hear me? Why is it so powerful then? Because I let him. He can only tempt me. I let it go the rest of the way. He throws it up there, and I run underneath with the basket trying to catch it. Ooh, that's pretty. What is that? So funny. And then we wonder, how did this happen? How did this happen? Pastor, I don't know how this happened. My wife left me. And you don't know how it happened? That's pretty remarkable. You know exactly how it happened. This is always the case. We need to be careful because Satan is out to tempt you and I. The great thing is God is for us. Who can be against us, says the book of Romans. So, we don't need to spend time on this one. Why does Satan stay at it? Why is it his weapon of choice? Because fourthly, it is absolutely destructive. It's destructive. The soul that sinneth, the Bible says, it shall surely die. Yikes. James already told us that when we begin to think and entertain the temptation, if we carry it through and give it legs, it's going to kill us. We need to be very careful. Point number two this morning is found in verse 3. Temptation, what are we to do? Understand this, that temptation is Satan's tone of voice. Now I'm going to get excited. Up until now, I was not very excited. I get very excited about this one. Here's the reason why. When I was putting this study together, when the Lord just put that on my heart, I had to just get excited over the fact that I recognize this to be true. You guys, come on. When Satan speaks, now I frankly confess, I have never encountered Satan. Well, he sends his little privates and lieutenants to me. They're called demons. By the way, have you ever read the book by C.S. Lewis, The Screwtape Letters? You haven't? Oh, church, it's awesome. C.S. Lewis, you know, the one, The Chronicles of Narnia is coming out. C.S. Lewis wrote a book, The Screwtape Letters. Only the way that he could do it. It's a letter between two demons writing back and forth about how to trip you up as a Christian. And in a very amazing way, he gives you the insights on how Satan's tactics are to get after you. Listen, the truth of the matter of all this is the fact that when Satan speaks or his demons speak to us, they don't speak to us like this, you know. Hey, Jack, oh, I'm going to pull you down and tear you up. No, I would say, behold, that must be Satan. He comes with the voice of my head. It's in my head. It sounds like me.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a mini-series called Temptation, What Are We to Do? It's a study taken from the first part of Luke chapter 4. Now again, this is a mini-series, part of our journey through the New Testament narrative of Luke, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, this series within a series on temptation is available in a convenient 4-CD set. In a moment, we'll tell you how to get in touch with us here at Real Radio and request it. Here's our offer. For your tax-deductible contribution of any size to the outreach of Real Radio, we'll send it right out to you. Just ask for the Temptation CD series. Here's our phone number, 877-RR-RADIO. That's toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO. RR Radio. Or you can send in your contribution to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. You can also visit us at realradioactive.org, and all of our contact information can be found there as well. Realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight. Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.